Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Have you ever had a social media post go viral before? It's a really cool feeling to see so many people liking your post. I can tell you how you can get one to go viral, guaranteed. The last time I did it, I got 95,000 likes on this Facebook post. What did I put a picture up of? Something that fascinates Americans, really shocks them to their core. They can't help but sharing it. What is it? Go find one on Google. They're everywhere. It's a picture of Americans, a vintage picture on the beach. Pick one. 1950s will do. 1940s is fine. 1960s works too. So does the 70s. Put it up on Facebook. Put it up on your social media and then watch it go viral. In fact, the last time I did it, I actually put the link in the podcast description today so you could see the picture because it's so shocking. What's so shocking about an average everyday photo of Americans at the beach? Not a damn one of them is fat. Not a damn one of them is bloated. The picture I put up is a California beach. And again, you can click on it in the sources section of the podcast. There are people who are young. There are people who are old. There are balding men. There are more than 100 people in this particular picture, but really, pick one. It doesn't matter. Not one is fat. There's actually one woman in this who has a slight bit of back fat and a little bit of a fanny. She's probably maybe 15 pounds overweight, but that's it. Not a single child in this picture is fat. Not one. Pictures like this fill Americans with awe. There's plenty of them on Google. For years, when I talk about this phenomenon on the air, listeners would text me back. We're soft. We're fat. We eat too much. We're slovenly. We spend too much time in front of the TV. It's our fault. But what if it wasn't our fault? What if we're being systematically poisoned knowingly by our government? That used to be the territory of kooks. I can't tell you how many shows I've done about the ADHD phenomenon. I get the same kind of texts and feedback. Kids today have no discipline. They can't sit still. They need to work like we did back in the day, man, when we had discipline. What if it's not their fault? What if our food is neurologically damaging our children? ADHD, central nervous system disorders, and worse. Now do this, if you get the chance and you have the budget. Go sit on a European beach and you'll notice something. They don't look like us. Even when they're a little bit overweight, they gain weight the way we used to. For women, in the butt and the thighs. Not that weird bloated gut. My daughter and I recently spent 10 days hiking in Utah, and we went from national park to national park in a particular order that they advise everyone to do it online. So there was a large French group of people that would end up at the parks hiking those same big long trails that we were every day. And we were amazed. There were over 100 of them in this group traveling together. And even my teenage daughter noticed it. There wasn't a one of the men, not one, who had a gut. There was one woman, the oldest in the group, who was a slight bit overweight, again, about 15 pounds. And there were a couple of people that, yeah, could have lost 5, max 10 pounds. But I mean, you could count them on one hand. They don't look like us. You know, the bloated look. For years, like a voice screaming in the wind, our incoming, I hope he gets confirmed, Health and Human Services Secretary, RFK Jr., has been trying to tell Americans why they're so sick, so bloated, why our sperm count keeps going down, why testosterone tests of men in what should be the prime of their life, their early 20s, yeah, a lot of them register with testosterone levels that you would expect of a 12, 13-year-old boy. What is going on? I've been reading RFK's newsletter. It comes in my inbox every morning. It's called The Defender, Children's Health Defense News and Views. I subscribed to it because I needed an article in it for the show once and always meant to unsubscribe years ago. I never did. Because in the headlines most days, there was some product that I was using that was in my backyard, that was in my bathroom. And I had to click because, of course, I love my kids and I wanted to know about it. And over the years, because his links and the studies were so terrifying and yet credible and convincing, I became convinced that he was right. Our government knowingly and systematically, for whatever reason, is poisoning us. The good news is it's fairly simple, really. If we could get rid of about 1,000 chemicals that are in our food and our environment that are banned in Europe, many of them, they'll halt you at customs if you have a product with them. That's how dangerous they're considered, especially pesticides. A shipment of grapes from India was recently stopped on its way into Europe because it was covered with pesticides that are banned there. Pesticides you can find right now in the fruit aisle. So I could not have been more thrilled yesterday when two significant things happened. The FDA finally admitted, and by the way, folks, this is a pure raw display of Trump's power right now. The FDA finally admitted, oh yeah, you know, now that we think about it, red dye number 3 might be a carcinogen. Yeah, they've known that for 34 years. They've known that. That's why they banned it in cosmetics, because if you put it on your skin, it'd cause cancer. Problem is, it's still in your kids' food. In 2022, a consumer protection group demanded the FDA ban it. Why? Because decades ago, Congress passed legislation outlawing any additive that is known to cause cancer and directing the FDA to ban them as soon as evidence that it caused cancer appeared. But the FDA doesn't do it. It's because a lot of those bureaucrats know if they go work in the FDA, do a good job allowing the big corporations to continue to poison us to save pennies on the dollar, then when they leave, they'll get their reward with a cushy job working for the same companies they regulate. And for 34 years, they poisoned the whole population, but most especially children, with red dye number 3. And then this week, finally, out of nowhere, never mind that the last formal request to ban it was 2022, they went, oh, now that we think about it, yeah, red dye number 3 might cause neurological damage, might be a hormone disruptor, might cause ADHD. Oh, yeah, and cancer, too. We think we'll ban it. What is going on here? This is a preemptive compromise. What did they just do? They just banned red 3 in order, hopefully, to hold on to red 40 and yellow 5 and the pesticides that allow them to grow such big crops so inexpensively. What prompted this sudden revelation from the FDA that, yeah, RFK's correct? Well, the Democrats last week announced that just enough of them are going to support him that he'll probably get confirmed. And miraculously, 34 years later, the FDA finally admits, yeah, we've allowed poison in your food in the form of red number 3. As RFK's confirmation gets closer, remember RFK has vowed, and I don't know if he'll do it, but he's vowed to wipe out entire portions entire sections of the FDA. And as RFK's, he's not even confirmed yet, as his confirmation gets closer, amazing things are happening. Like the FDA finally admitting, oh, you mean fluoride in the water? Yeah, that's a carcinogen too. Yeah, it decreases children's IQs by an actual detectably measurable amount. Oh, and it causes neurological damage too, ADHD-like symptoms, and is also a hormone disruptor. You know, we always knew that. We meant to get around to it. I can't wait for next week to see what gets banned. Here's the good news, folks. We don't have to remake the wheel here because Europe has already gone before us. I'll let RFK explain.
Why is the food coloring in particular bad?
Food coloring, you see here, yellow food coloring, that is a petroleum product.
Mm-hmm.
It's associated with really, you know, with depression. It's associated with autoimmune injuries and ADHD.
Yeah.
These and red dye also is very bad. In Europe, the same companies are producing the same products, but they're using natural coloring. But here they can get away with it. We have about almost 1,000 chemicals that are in our food that are either outright banned in Europe or actively discouraged. So you wouldn't be able to buy this kind of stuff in Europe. You ask about why it's so cheap, why it's so ubiquitous. It's because we subsidize the worst foods. We subsidize it with about 70% of our food stamp program is to process foods, which are all poison.
Right.
Again, so it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And this isn't free market capitalism. Nothing like it. The law is simple. If something is a known carcinogen, then it cannot be added to our food supply. But the FDA has ignored the law. And you know what's fascinating about that? If you've listened to my show for any amount of time, I've been talking about the kids at the school bus. I started this when my kids were little, and I was dropping them off at the school bus. And I was noticing the kids and how they did not look like us. How so many more of them were fat than before, about half. But there was this other strange thing too. Even the skinny kids, if you look at them on the corner, the ones that have naturally high enough metabolisms to counter the damage done by these chemicals, look at them. Even the skinniest ones, you'll notice they've got that weird bloat on their belly. They may not even have it anywhere else. Again, girls especially didn't gain weight that way. Take a look at the boys. They look like they're virtually devoid, many of them, of testosterone, even when they're clearly actively going through puberty. It's a sick, skinny genes look. In fact, I think it's responsible for the skinny jeans fad as kids embraced that look. Now go back and look at the Facebook picture that I put in the sources. Look at the kids in that picture. None of them could have worn skinny jeans. They're not bloated or fat, but they've got more muscle mass. But here's the thing with American culture. We have this very strong individual liberty, individual freedom culture, which I love, but which we tend to blame ourselves for being overweight or being unhealthy. We look to ourselves first culturally rather than someone else for the blame. And that's usually good. But in this case, it's allowed them to maim an entire generation. Look at that red dye number 3 number. How many years ago was it banned in cosmetics? 34. You go back 34 years. What are you in, the 90s? When did I start noticing kids don't look the same, don't look right? Well, it was when my kids were hitting the bus stop around 2014. So about 20 years later, enough for them to dose about a generation and a half with it. By the way, go back to 1990s and you find another phenomenon. That is when the fluoride in the water first really became widespread. I'd noticed it for years and I knew something was causing it, but I couldn't put my finger on what. And I wish I had been able to watch this RFK video. It is an absolute classic describing how Americans just so gradually and so slowly got sicker and fatter that they didn't notice. And again, that's why they have so much shock at looking at beach pictures from previous decades. Take a listen. RFK explains it the best.
And it's no coincidence that Americans die earlier than Canadians or Germans or Italians or Japanese or Koreans or Australians or most any other comparable country. And it wasn't always that way. Until the early 1990s, our life expectancy was the same or better than other developed countries. Then suddenly, more and more Americans began suffering from chronic diseases, from obesity, cancer, diabetes, kidney disease, Alzheimer's, heart disease, and all kinds of autoimmune diseases. Like the frog in the slowly boiling water, we didn't really notice as we got sicker and sicker. We've grown now to accept chronic disease conditions as normal. But now, in 2024, we're finally waking up to this cataclysm and we're asking ourselves, how in the world did this happen? Well, a big part of it is our diet. Restaurants that serve contaminated food are fined or shut down. But when it's the government that approves the poisons in our food, a few people get very, very rich, and the toxins end up in every supermarket aisle. Doritos, Cheez-Its, Cap'n Crunch, gummy bears. Everyone knows that these are junk foods, so maybe you wouldn't be too surprised to see that the ingredients include a lot of poisons, including a harmful yellow dye called tetrazine, or yellow dye number 5. What you may not know is that this dye was originally made out of the sludge that's left over when you turn coal into coke for blast furnaces. It's called coal tar, and I've actually sued many big industries for legacy contamination of coal tar all around the country because it's so toxic and it's so harmful to the environment and human beings. A century ago, it was just an obnoxious industrial byproduct that everybody was trying to figure out ways to get rid of. One of the ways that they did that was by paving roads. But then a British chemist figured out that the coal tar could be used to derive fabric dye. And if fabric dye, why not food? Food manufacturers began using it to cover up the discoloration of low-quality foods that they wanted to pass off on unsuspecting customers. They didn't know back then that this yellow dye, tartrazine, causes tumors, asthma, developmental delays, neurological damage, ADD, ADHD, hormone disruption, gene damage, anxiety, depression, intestinal injuries. Well, we know it now. We've known this for decades. That's why tartrazine is heavily restricted in other countries. Today, it's made from petroleum, not coal tar. Either way, it's crazy to add this to your kids' favorite foods. It doesn't even change the flavor. This yellow dye isn't just in junk food. It's in the foods that we consider healthy. It's in everyday kids' snacks like popcorn, mac and cheese, fruit snacks. It's in sports drinks like Gatorade and so-called vitamin water. It's even added to chicken broth, to corn, to pickles, to mustard, and to yogurt. And so, of course, our kids get sick. And we lovingly feed them chewable vitamins, which have, surprise, tartrazine. And so the cycle continues until the coughs and asthma kick in, at which point you go to pick up some cough syrup. And yeah, you guessed it. Tartrazine. I've been picking on tartrazine today, but that's just one of at least 100 chemical poisons that our health agencies allow into our children's food. I can make a video just like this to talk about Red 40, BHA, BHD, potassium bromate, chemical after chemical, and on and on and on. If just one of them can cause all of these problems, imagine what they're doing in combination. That has never been studied. If we took all of these chemicals out, our nation would get healthier immediately. We'd have fewer sick days. We'd have better focus. We'd have less anxiety. Our kids would learn more easily. We'd lose weight. We'd have more energy. We'd have fewer tumors and longer lives. It's not all dark. Over the past 16 years, the government has banned 8 chemical additives that cause cancer, genetic damage, asthma, and many of the other self-conditions, as tartrazine does. And you know what's interesting? All 8 of those crucial steps forward in our kids' health were taken under President Trump. But the Democrats, who claim to be all about health care, have stood by watching other countries ban these poisons that make our kids sick, asthmatic, hyperactive, and depressed. They left them on every supermarket shelf in America. They even used your tax money to put them in your kids' school lunch. So their big food and their big ag donors probably gave them all that golden handshake and the big money hug. And their big pharma donors probably called them up and thanked them also, because now they're going to make billions selling Adderall, Prozac, and rescue inhalers. Enough is enough. President Trump and I are going to stop the mass poisoning of American children. Together, we're going to make America healthy again.
Final thoughts, y'all. If the FDA could do this week to get ahead of what's coming with RFK, damn it, they could have done it years ago. Meanwhile, a frantic last-minute campaign is being mounted by a guy who really should go away, Mike Pence. Apparently, he's been tapped by Big Food and Big Agra to try to stop RFK and is personally lobbying against his approval. You know what should happen to a person like that, like Mike Pence? One big bag of Skittles. I hope he eats the whole damn thing.
America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.